What's up, boys and girls? My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. I should probably put some kind of delay on that, huh? So it doesn't start till I actually get over here. Not that I'm worried about it. Not that I'm worried about it all. Hi. Hello, everyone. How you doing? How the hell are you? No. Hey, happy 2023, huh? 2023, huh? Our 61st year on this planet. 61 glorious years. No complaints here. Happy rainy Southern California day. It's been raining for seems like a week. Seems like it's been a week or 2 weeks it's been raining. And I remember when I first moved out here in the early 80s, 1983 to be precise. It used to rain for 2 weeks. At the beginning of every year, like January, February, I remember that. Then it stopped for a while, if I recall correctly. I'm sure we could look up some stats and find out if that's the case. But anyway, I just wanted to cut this on and talk. Imagine that, me wanting to talk. Such a novel idea. What do I want to talk about? I don't know. But things are swirling around in my head. A lot of good things happening to me. Not really. That's not true. Now, see, here's the thing. No matter what is happening to me, it feels good. And some people might say, yeah, you know, that's a good thing. You know, you should be happy. And I am. I mean, I worked hard to get here. And I do believe it's all about self. I can go down that road about self. But I worked hard to get here and deserve. I don't know if I used the word, deserve it or got it. I earned it. It doesn't matter. And it really doesn't matter anyway, because it's all internal. Most of it is internal. The external things that I have, like income, apartment, car, you know, all the external stuff, public prestige, my stature in the communities of which I partake, how I am perceived when I walk into the room. I guess the quote unquote intangibles, but I forget where I was going. So let's just go straight to self now. Self. All right. Here's the things I've been putting together lately. Well, recently or leading up to, which probably could be a rough outline of my next book. If I want to get to like the pinnacle, the highest point in my reasoning and thinking, which I believe is along these lines here. Self. There's nothing more important than the self. Self, everything you do, everything for self. Everything is done for self. If you live your life in service to every other person in the world, if you live a selfish, completely selfish life, and your devotion is to help others constantly, and you do nothing for yourself or whatever, that's a choice. That's a choice what you make. So basically, you're doing what you want to do. You're doing, you know, for yourself. Unless you're forced to do it, and then that's something different. So even though you may be benevolent and, you know, caring and brother's keeper, there's something inside you that makes you want to be that person. So you're doing it for yourself. Okay, so the first premise is that everything is about self. My other second premise, and I've been going over this before, and I will go over it again, just as I reiterate it, I learn different things as I say it to myself. The second thing is, I do not think there's anything greater or more important. I take that back. Forget the important part. Greater in the universe that we know of right now than a human being becoming the individual that they want to be. I was commenting that it was self-actualization because that's the word that's been thrown around, you know, as I've been coming up for the last 10, 15 years, Maslow and all that. But somebody pointed out that it might be self-fulfillment. And I like that even better, because self-actualization almost indicates that what you're actually going to be or actualize is determined by someone else. It, to me, it sounds like it could be determined by someone else, an outside source. fulfillment is purely based on what the individual wants for himself. Purely 100% undiluted selfish goals for the person. Self first goals, whatever person. I believe that a person, a human consciousness, and remember too, our consciousness are so diverse. We've got 8 billion of them over here. It's going to be no two are going to be alike. It might be many similar, and there may be some tendencies in one to the other that we could point out. But all of them are going to be so unique and so different that if each individual achieves what they want, they could or should or can possibly be a very unique light or very unique point or frame of reference or information in this universe. Right now on this planet, there's 8 billion of us. It's easy for us to just get lost and not even consider that as an important point because we have 8 billion of us. So it seems like we have an overabundance of consciousnesses. It's like, oh, consciousnesses are everywhere. Everybody got a conscious. But if we step out into the universe, that might not be the case. To me, consciousness is the most powerful thing in the universe. Consciousness is the most powerful thing in the universe. And for a human being with a unique perspective on the universe to become what it wants to be, that whatever it determines itself, and that's the uniqueness of it. The beauty of what I'm saying is that each individual person will determine what they want to be on an individual basis. There is no across the board saying, oh, this person needs that. This person needs to do that. They should do this. There is not. It's completely up to the individual. So that means anything goes. Anything. If a person just wants to sleep under a bridge for the rest of their life, and that's truly what they want, and that's the person they want to be, so be it. So be it. There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing. To me, there's nothing greater than a person achieving that thing that they want. Now, some of us come up with a different kind of drive to where we want to be maybe an athlete or a doctor, or we get a drive in ourselves that we want to work on this, or something triggers us that we go, oh, you know, there's something in us. I've seen it across human beings. There's something in human beings just to make them just attentive or give attention to or passionate about the strangest and weirdest things. And I say strangest and weirdest things as a compliment to the vastness of the differences between what I like and what other people like. Two people are going to have two totally different views. Two people can look at the exact same thing and come up with two completely different ideas of what it is and what it should be. And this is a sidetrack, but recently there was nominations for speakers of the House in the Senate and House of Representatives. I'm not sure, but one side got their vote over 219-0. The other side had to take 15 votes to get it through. To me, they're both problematic. No two people in the world, let alone 219 of them, are going to agree on anything without any amount of dissension, without no, I mean, 219, not even one? That's North Korea, Russia kind of voting. Venezuela kind of voting. Where they come back like 99%, 100% everybody voted for the current president. That's just as troubling to me as, in fact, I don't even think that the Republicans doing all that 15 votes was a bad thing. They're working it out. They're airing it out. They're discussing it. To me, it's like they're working things out in their party, which the Democratic Party may or may not want to do right now. Because, well, I have my feelings about the Democratic Party, but that's just what I'm saying. We're just so diverse. The whole idea is of diversity. I travel the world. I'm standing there at the corner of 34th and 8th. In New York City, and just families walking by, all kinds of people, all kinds of languages, all kinds of looks, just, you know, tons, thousands of people just walking by, and you hear in different languages, and you hear different kids, and the way the parents talk to the kids, you see the commonality between how the parent is telling their kids, watch out that corner, slow down, you know, wait. It's like different languages, different hues, different races, whatever you want to call it. But it's a commonality. We're here. We're all here in this doing together. And I had a moment. I had a moment standing on that corner where it just all rushed over me. I just let it all rush over me. All of it. Just where I was, what's going on, my life, people in my life. And then I'm a part of this vast, huge thing we're doing. And when I say vast and huge, I was thinking universe. I was thinking universe, but I need to scale it back to where I was saying earlier, 8 billion of us here. That's vast and huge. Let's not get ahead of my, don't let me get ahead of myself and start talking universe and this and that and galaxies where we ain't even got this, we're still exploring and understanding what we're doing here with us 8 billion people. Now, I'm not saying we need to stop studying other stuff. And I love astronomy and astrophysics and understanding what the hell is going on. Why are we here physically, you know, and all that stuff and how we try to understand that through math and sciences and the academics we put in place to describe these things with words that we can agree on so that when one person talks about black holes, another person understands what a black hole is. That in itself is a beautiful thing, the way us humans can get together and carry knowledge that way. I mean, this is just, to me, it's just so fascinating. It's just so wonderful. And I don't think heaven could be any better than this, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think heaven gonna have to be one hell of a place to beat this place, if you ask me. So let's go back to where I was saying that self is number one. No matter what anybody tell you, everybody's going to do what's best for themselves. That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. Everyone's going to do what's best for themselves, even if it may present them a shortcoming or something. And even if they give their life, it's something that they wanted to do and a decision that they made. So it's something, it was still all about them. I mean, you could twist it that way. I'm sure there's other ways you can spin it. Then also, to me, the greatest thing and the most powerful thing in the universe is consciousness and what we human beings are doing with consciousness, stockpiling knowledge. We're able to communicate, share things, work on endeavors as a group, global projects, basically what I'm saying, you know, projects that take thousands of people and, you know, bigger ideas and we're doing it and we're getting along and we're doing it. I'm standing there in New York watching people just walk by, thousands of people, and we're just doing it. I mean, of course you're going to have some crazies, and you're going to have some shootings, and you're going to have some, you know, this and that. And I think we need that. We actually need that. That's why I also think heaven don't work. We need some of that. We need homelessness, and we need some degradation and chaos, a little bit of despair. We need all that. So, as I was saying, so consciousness is the most powerful thing. And then for a conscious being to achieve what they want on an individual basis, I'm hard-pressed to find anything greater than that. I'm hard-pressed to find anything that could be greater than that. So with that said, for a person, the things, the somebody, or the some things that contribute to a person becoming the person they always wanted to be, there's nothing greater. I keep saying there's nothing greater because that's what I'm trying to be at. I'm trying to be way up here with the ultimates, the highest points of understanding, of the highest points of not reasoning, but highest points of priority, or not even priority, but just up in that upper realm of This is what really, really, really matters. Okay, you can have your family. Our mother. Mother's love is number one. I've never seen anything that compares to a mother's love for a child. And you go back to, and even go back to the mother, what the mother wants. It comes down to self, what the mother wants. What the mother wants is for that child to be healthy, happy, untouched, or whatever, just perfect. They want the best for that child. And in a way, that's selfish because that's what they want. What does the child want? We don't care what the child wants. We're going to, until the child is old enough to say what they want, they're going to do what we want them to do. You know, within reason. And we understand, you know, a lot of that is preference and our self, you know, things we want for ourselves, our opinions and stuff. But for the most part, that's the only thing you can do. You only can do what you believe in and what you know. That's the only thing you can do. You're only going to like what you like. You're only going to know what you know. So to have a person achieve for somebody or something to play a part in somebody's life, for them to achieve being what they want, to give them a freedom, to be in somebody's life or to give them something or play a part or a role that allows them to be the person that they want. How can I elaborate on this? How can I elaborate on this? Okay, in my case, there's a certain amount of freedom I need. There's a certain amount of freedom I seem to think that I need. And there have been people in my life who helped me achieve that freedom while still, quote unquote, maintaining relationships with them, quote unquote, necessary is not the word, but standard relationships like in love and friendship and companionship. Even me, who I'm pretty much a loner, I can stay in this. It's not about staying in an apartment all day by myself. It's not that. It's just my independent thinking, just the way I operate and handle my life. It's just at the most independent levels that I could probably attain. And this has been going on for decades because I, decades ago, at a young age, I realized I did not want to be dependent on anybody. I didn't want to be dependent on anybody or anything. And it came from, I think that came from one time I was in a relationship and I wanted to go somewhere and they didn't want to go. And that ruined it for me. And I'm like, no, this can't happen. Or something like that. It was something I was with a girl, one of the girls. It might have happened twice, but I can think of two instances where I wanted someone else to participate. And they couldn't, or they didn't, or they couldn't. And it ruined my day. And that might be normal. I mean, then that's probably human in the way it should be. But I didn't like it. And I start putting things in place to alleviate that. And certain things could possibly be labeled as delusion, where I delusion myself into thinking this or that to achieve a feeling or a sense of, not comfort, but a sensation. Basically that in-love feeling. The in-love feeling. I was able to simulate the in-love feeling without actually having someone there physically to be in love with. This freed me up to travel the world or go anywhere I want to. This freed me up to be able to just be free, independent, completely. People I'm playing Kansas City, I'm gone. I don't got to ask nobody nothing. Don't got to get a dog sitter or feed the cat. I ain't got to water plants. I got nothing. I just can get up, grab it, and go. And that's the way I always wanted it. So to be able to have that and I probably created this for myself, to have relationships from friends to coworkers to acquaintances, you know, to people you just know on social media, to have that enough around me, but to have a pretty big buffer around me to maintain my independence. Because remember, dude, and I said this before, independence comes, you know, I even tried not to have friends. I even tried not to have friends because friends, you know, they want to know if you're okay. They want you to call them. You know, they call you and you talk to them and then you don't call them. And, you know, and it goes two ways. I don't want to get into a situation where I want to call somebody and they're not there and I can't talk to them. I don't want that. But if it happens, it happens. And I've been in lots of relationships like that. I've been in good relationships. All my relationships I think are good. The bad ones you just get out of. But even the bad ones that start off good and become bad for whatever reason, whatever bad means, even those I cherish. All my relationships I've cherished. And I'm talking about like romantic boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, wives and stuff like that. You know, close, intimate relationships where I was able to share with people and, you know, communicate and get companionship and comfort and sometimes medical attention and just assistance like that. But without the attachment, you know, because I love just being able to think and talk about what I want to talk about. That, I don't know if I've evolved myself into some kind of weird hermit, or I've evolved myself to what human beings should be. Human beings should be whatever they want to be. But if you ask me, I love the person I am. I love whatever I become. Whatever this is I become, I love it. It's just it feels exactly what I want it to be. But again, I've said many times before, it's been too many times where whatever I was doing was the bee's knees. So I'm just going through life like, everything is just good. That's why I go back to the point that when everything is good, it almost makes life difficult. Because when you have something bad or something negative or something that affects you in a different way, that helps you with judgment. That helps you with deciding this or that. That helps you, you know, should I go this way or that way? You say, should I go this way or that way? But if both are equally good, there's no guide. You know, it's like, there's no incentive to get that extra degree, to get that better job, to get more money, to have more. You don't have like a drive because you're content. And that can be dangerous. You have just a drive. Your drive goes away because, hey, I got everything. I mean, I got everything I need here. I'm looking around here. What else more do I want? So I get to a point sometimes where I got to start thinking of stuff just to keep my motivation up, because we need motivation. And even if it's wake up in the morning, going to a job you hate, and complaining about that job you hate all day, that's something to do. Be grateful for that. Be grateful that you have something like that that motivates you negatively or positively to do something every day. Because it can get to a point to where, and I don't know how super rich people do it. If you like super rich and you just say like you were super rich and you were born, you never really had to work and everything is just given to you. I mean, what's the point? Why go to school? Why learn? You know, but I also know that traveling all the time and partying all the time, quote unquote partying or just leisure, you know, that can't last too long either. And I also, me myself, I've never been a tropical leisure type person. Kind of a sidetrack, but come vacation, I want to be on the concrete, museums, seeing stuff, learning stuff. I've never been I'm going to sit on this beach for 4 hours person. You know, it might be fun for an hour or two, but like, oh, let's go. I'm ready to walk or go do something or chill or eat or something. But not sure why I went down that road. But it comes back again to me being the person that I always wanted to be. And sometimes these things, these people come into your life that help you facilitate that. And then you recognize it. I'm like, oh, however this relationship worked, or however our acquaintances work, or our interactions, the job, or, you know, money, what you gave me, whatever, however that evolves over the years to become what it becomes in your life, may or may not be different than what it was intended for or how it started. It can start off like something platonic or just something on accident. And next thing you know, down the line, you go, whoa, 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 whoa. Because of this, now I'm able to do that. So I look back over my life. I'm constantly doing it because I'm like, you know, how did I get here? My basic is, how did I get here? You know, how did, and I kind of want to document it. How did I get here? Why me? Why do I feel this way? Am I the only one who feels this happy? Or am I the only person who feels this, quote unquote, successful? And success, again, doesn't mean millions of dollars. It doesn't mean this or that or going here or doing that. It's attaining the things that you passion and that you want. And becoming the person that you always wanted to be. To become the person that you always wanted to be. There's nothing, nothing, nothing to me, nothing in my mind is higher or greater than that. A person becoming who they want to be. And I look back at my life and, you know, started my mother, my father, my sister, my mother's sister, the family, my father's family, my father's sister, their cousins, all the cousins, my father's brother, all the cousins, you know, the people who you start to meet when you were first born, the people who knew you before you knew you, people on Dewey Street, babysitters and stuff, just all that. It all contributed to Jeffrey, to Jeffrey being Jeffrey as you look back. And for Jeffrey to have achieved this, to become this person, and to be able to live the life that he's living, for me to be able to live the life that I'm living, and just, oh, in the place where I'm living it, oh. And to be able to reach out to people in my life and just talk and share and, you know, have fun. But then be able to go back to my house, back to my apartment that I've been in for 40,000 years and just be in here and do what I do. It's life is amazing. Life to me is it's amazing. It is truly amazing. And, or like the simple things when I'm trying to get to the P-Funk show or whatever, coming from the airport. Or when I was driving, I was doing something. I forget how I was. You turn that corner in D.C. and you see the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial just lit up like that. Oh, just stuff. It moves me. It moves me. I was in Paris and I turned the corner and the Eiffel Tower was there. Like, oh, seeing the pyramids and just stuff like that. Just To have that. And then to have the simple things like an In-N-Out burger, you know, or just a good bacon cheeseburger or some popcorn, my hot air buttered popcorn that I do every night. Just the little things that you look forward to. Watching my Pittsburgh Steelers, Parliament Funkadelic, and things that have been in my life since I was a boy. Since I was a boy. Ooh, that sounds... Since I was a boy, huh? Since I was little. I'm grateful for it. No, I'm probably not grateful for it. I'm probably not grateful like I should be for it. You know, I'm happy about it, and I am grateful to a degree, but I'm more like, want to take it apart and figure out how it works. I'm more take it apart and figure out how it works. That's kind of more where I'm at. And, you know, I'm like, why? Why? How did I get here? How did I get here? And who all was involved in getting me here? And the roles they played and the things I learned from them and the unexplained passions that you have and why you like this and why you don't like that. And just all of it is just so beautiful and wonderful. And today's Monday, it's raining outside. I didn't wash today. Did I take a shower yesterday? I can't remember. It don't matter. I'm wearing the same clothes. It doesn't matter. I'm working now. This is my lunchtime. Pittsburgh had a good season. We got ourselves together. We went 7-2 in our last 9 games. Parliament Funkadelic is touring. These are things that, you know, I've been passionate since my childhood. My granddaughter, my family, hanging out with them, traveling back and forth to Ohio, working from home, my job. I love my job. I don't want to stand here like I'm gushing over everything, but I do like to go over it and to say it out loud and to hear it and to piece it together and take it apart and piece it back together and try to understand exactly, not exactly, but just try to better understand what is. Look at my book. My book is standing right here. In fact, swing around y'all two times. For me and for the phone. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. It's a theory of universe. And a hypothesis of all as one. See, that's the name of the book. A theory of universe. Not theory of the universe. Theory of universe. And this says one man's funk and telechy. One man's funk and telechy and theory of universe. This is my book. I strive to achieve harmony with everybody and everything that I come in contact with. The result is success in life, and I celebrate the success with the dance. Jerry Scott Mitchell. Swinging on y'all. Just like talking about it. I just like talking about it.